I'd ask you to please turn with me to Psalm 130, that is page 660. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And the subject before us this evening is deliverance from the depths. Deliverance from the depths. The psalm is written by way of testimony to show and encourage us this evening how God can deliver a sinner who has offended God, even if they have sunk to great depths. The psalmist David here testifies how God hears and answers prayer, granting forgiveness, redemption, restoration, and hope. And there is no greater testimony in the world than that of a person delivered and transformed and restored by the amazing grace, the favor of God. Forgiven, redeemed at the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, restored into a right relationship with God and having hope of eternal life in heaven. And the Bible is full of proven cases of men and women whose lives have undergone such a change, who have been delivered from the depths of sin and iniquity. For example, we read of the Apostle Paul, how before his conversion, he so hated Christ and he oversaw the killing and the imprisoning of Christians. And one day on the road to Damascus, Christ met with him and he stopped him in his mad career. And he left that encounter with Christ a totally changed man, convicted of his sin and convinced that Christ was indeed the Lord and Savior. And he went on to be one of the greatest preachers and teachers this world has ever known. We can look into the history of the church. Later on, we see a man called John Newton, who recorded his conversion from the depths of sin and iniquity. And in the well-known words, he wrote that hymn, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And here in this psalm, we have another case of a mighty deliverance, revealing to us the essential characteristics for our encouragement of how such a miracle of grace is possible in your life. It's a wonderful testimony if we are willing in our minds this evening to look at some of the depths of this testimony. It's challenging. It's contains profound words. It contains profound realities about the condition of a sinner before God by nature. And I want us to look first of all then at verse 1 and 3, because there we have the nature of conviction. There is first of all an honest assessment of both the psalmist's condition and his position. His conditions: out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And in verse 3, if thou shouldst mark, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Who can stand before the holy God in and of themselves? And under conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, he realizes his wretched condition by nature. He is experiencing the emptiness of sin. He's experiencing the consequences of sin. He's experiencing the guilt of sin. He's experiencing the burden of sin. And here now he has come to hate sin for what it has done to him, for where it has brought him. Now it is thought, as I mentioned previously, the psalm was written by David. Commentators think that this psalm was actually written by David after his adultery with Bathsheba and authorizing the murder of her husband Uriah. And after this event, Nathan the prophet visited David and he challenged him about his sin by telling him a parable, a story. He told him about a rich man who forcibly took a poor man's lamb to eat for his supper. And David was enraged when he heard of such cruelty and injustice. that he was very angry with this rich man. And then Nathan looked David straight in the eye, and he said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man, David. I'm referring to in this parable. You have taken a poor man's wife." And David came under the conviction of sin. And in the depths of his conviction, David cries out unto God. But the psalmist is not only convicted of his condition here, but also of his position before the holy God. So he asks the question in verse 3, "If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand before this holy and this just God? Because my iniquities condemn me." And this psalm reveals to us the true nature of conviction of sin. It reveals to us a grievous and helpless condition by nature and our position before God. Our condition is that we are by nature sinners. We've offended God. We've broken God's law, and we're in the depths of iniquity. And the word depths here in the original has the meaning of being profoundly aware of your danger. It means you're under conviction of sin. You come under the realization of your state, the state of your heart before God, and you feel that you are sinking. You realize your helpless condition, and you seem to be sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into this miry clay, and you don't seem to be unable to stop yourself, and you cry out to the Lord, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." But also, not only of our condition, but of our position. And our position is that of being guilty before a holy and a just God. "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" This is the reality of what the psalmist is saying here. Out of the depths. How can I stand before a holy God? This is my position. And so he comes to the realization of what sin is really doing and has done to him. It cuts you off from God. It renders you an enemy of God. Unforgiven sin will send you ultimately, unrepented of, to a lost eternity in hell under the judgment of God. Sin only ever harms you. It never ever does you any good. Sin never ever heals. Sin just continually opens up the wound of your heart greater and greater. Sin is your worst enemy. Sin pervades our whole being by nature. It's part of us. It constantly presses us deeper and deeper into its dark and gloomy pit. And every sin unforgiven by God that we commit sinks us deeper into the mire. But then we come in verse 2 to the call. "Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication." And what this teaches us this evening, it's a remarkable verse, and it's so encouraging for us this evening, because it tells us that wherever we are, however deep we are in the pit of sin, or however deep we are in a particular trial that we're experiencing, a particular situation that we're experiencing in our life, a particular temptation, a particular trial, a particular situation which is impossible for us, we can from anywhere cry out to God. That is what it's teaching us this evening. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice." And we can see here the voice of my supplications means that that David is praying earnestly and passionately. He's not just saying, "Oh Lord, hear my prayer," and then carry it on. Everything depends upon the Lord hearing my prayer. "Lord, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." We have a similar rendering in Psalm 69, verse 1. "Save me, O God, for the waters are coming into my soul. I sink in deep mire, and where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." The Bible gives us accounts of men and women in these situations and how the Lord ultimately delivers them as they cry out to him. And I want to bring to your attention one particular example, and that is the account of a man called Jonah. And he attempted to run away from God, and he took a ship to Tarshish, in the opposite direction to the city that God had called him to preach to. And in a storm, he's thrown overboard and swallowed by a huge fish. And from inside the fish in the depths of the sea, Jonah testifies that he prayed unto God. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. The psalmist said, well, here in Jonah 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Well, you can't get any lower than that, can you? Out of the belly of hell cried I. And that's what our experience sometimes can be. Conviction can bring us into this point when we realize our situation, our standing, and our heart before God. But when we cry out of the depths, doesn't matter where we are, how low we have sunk, whatever position that we are in this evening, the word of God assures us, out of the depths we can cry. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. And so we are given such examples to show that there is no extremity too difficult for the Lord this evening. No extremity so difficult that the Lord cannot handle in our lives. Whatever your situation is this evening, you can pray to God. There's always a time for prayer. There's always a place for prayer. But this cry must be made in faith, believing the almighty power of God to hear and answer your prayer. Oh, this was a prayer of faith, a cry of faith. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Well, I want us to look, as we move through this psalm, to the comfort. Verse 4, here is faith. This is why he cried unto the Lord. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that an encouragement this evening? See, the purpose of God convicting you of your sin is not to destroy you. It's not to crush you. It's actually to do something very positive in your life. It's so that you will come to repentance of your sin and in faith look to God alone for forgiveness. Look to the Lord alone for forgiveness. But there is forgiveness with thee. And here the repentance and faith of the psalmist shines forth. This is one of the great prayers of faith that is recorded in the Bible. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with a holy God. But the question is this evening, how can this be? How can a holy God pardon those who have broken his moral law? How can God do this and still be a just God and not compromise with sin? How can we be so sure this evening that there is forgiveness for all your sin and all my sin? That there's nothing too hard for the Lord? Well, the psalmist knows that while God is holy, he also, as God, delights in mercy. And God has made a way whereby his perfect justice and his most merciful grace and kindness can be met in through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one can deliver themselves out of this pit of sin. But God, in his amazing love and grace and mercy, has made a deliverance possible because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to this world and he's lived a perfect life. He's kept God's law and then he's gone into that pit for you, the very pit of hell, that you might be forgiven, that you might be cleansed. That you, as you put your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, might know forgiveness and cleansing because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross for sinners. He's gone to that cross willingly And he's allowed himself to be put on the cross. And there on that cross, he has suffered the punishment, the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those who put their trust in him. And he died as that perfect sacrifice. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead. And his resurrection and subsequent ascension proved that Jesus was the Son of God. And God the Father accepted his sacrifice and his sufferings upon the cross. And so this evening, because of the life, and because of the death, and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be sure there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with the Lord. That thou mayest be feared. And as we come to him and we respect him and we look to him and we trust only in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for salvation, we can be forgiven of all our sin. We can be accepted as pure before God, repenting of our sin and trusting only in Jesus Christ our Savior. Because in Christ is where true comfort really rests. This is where it rests. In Christ we can be forgiven, reconciled with God, redeemed from sin, and ultimately enjoy a glorious inheritance in heaven. So here we have the answer to this question. Who shall stand? O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Friends, in his letter to the church at Rome, Paul writes these words, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." We're standing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as we trust in him. We can stand before the Lord. Not in our own righteousness, but in the precious righteousness of Jesus Christ, and through his intercession for us, through his finished work for us, we can stand before God, pure and holy, in Christ Jesus. And such grace has the fruit in a repentant sinner of deep respect for God, that thou mayest be feared, a deep respect for who he is and for what he has done. Oh, the fruit of properly appreciating God's amazing grace in Christ Jesus. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. But now I want us to move on in this psalm to commitment. Verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And this morning in our early morning prayer meeting, it was read to us about asking God the Father for his blessing to be upon us. And to ask with importunity. It was about the man that came and wanted some loaves late at night, and he just kept on asking. He kept on knocking at the door, and ultimately his neighbour gets up because he made such a fuss that he got up and he gave him what he wanted. And it's a picture of the earnestness in prayer. And we have this again here. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait in his word. Do I hope my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning? Well, when we know we've got a problem, when we know we've got a difficulty we cannot handle, like the issue of sin or the issue of a trial or whatever it might be, and only the Lord can deal with it, we know that we must come and wait and depend upon the Lord alone with expectation. Notice where the hope of the psalmist rests. His confidence rests upon the word of the Lord. I wait for the Lord, I depend upon his character, and in his word do I hope. Now that's a very important thing. It's very helpful for us this evening to realize this. The psalmist had never met the Messiah, Christ Jesus, in person. He'd never met him. He hoped for him. Christ hadn't come to this earth at that point. He'd never met him in person. So it must come in the end to believe in and trust in the word of the Lord, which promises complete forgiveness and reconciliation in Christ the Messiah. Trusting in the word of the Lord is the psalmist's testimony. And this is the first step of faith for you, above what you feel. Martin Luther, the famous reformer, was once asked, "Do you feel that you have been forgiven?" And Martin Luther answered, "No. But I am as sure I'm forgiven as there is a God in heaven. For feelings come and go, and feelings can be deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing." And he was right. In the end, the only thing, the only truth, the only word that we can ultimately trust is God's word. It endures forever. That's where the unchanging security is. And that must be the first step of faith, trusting in what God has promised in his word to return in sinners in Christ Jesus. And here the psalmist compares his waiting on the Lord to the so-called nighttime watchers of the city. They were the nighttime guards. "My soul waiteth for the morning. More than that, my soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And this is a reference to the nighttime guards who long for the morning, that their shift would come to an end. They long for the sun to rise. Oh, the night's over. Their shift is finished. We can go back to bed. And they waited patiently. But at the same time, these watchers, these nighttime guards, knew for certain that the new day would dawn. They had to wait patiently, but they had this expectation. There would be a dawn. So it is with waiting for God. It is to be done with sincere repentance and faith, knowing for certain, as a new day dawns, that God will hear and God will answer. And so the psalmist longs for this assuring light of God's forgiveness and mercy in Christ. And he will not give up praying or seeking the Lord, knowing that the Lord will hear and will answer his prayer. This is the testimony of a man who is committed and fervently waiting upon the Lord. This is the testimony of a man who's firmly believing that it is in God and in him alone that forgiveness is to be found. This is a man who's waiting and watching and waiting and trusting in the word of the Lord. "My soul waiteth for the Lord, and in his word do I hope." God has promised, and God's word will not fail you. So as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, God's word is your assurance. He will receive you, and he will forgive you as you come and trust only in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wait only upon the Lord. "My soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for my expectation is from him." Don't wait on anybody else. Don't wait on anybody else's thoughts and anybody else's truth. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And in his word, hope. But then certainty. Verse 7, our final two verses this evening. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous, plentiful redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And here is the great hope this evening, the great call for you to hope in the Lord this evening. And we're given three clear reasons why you should hope in the Lord. First of all, there is mercy in him. for with the Lord there is mercy. With the Lord there is kindness. With the Lord there is love. With the Lord there is loyalty to all those who trust in Him. With the Lord He delights in mercy. He delights to show mercy. And secondly, there is plenteous redemption in Him. Overflowing, abundant power to redeem. Plenty of free grace to redeem you. Satan will say to you, oh no, it's too difficult to move for the Lord to save you. It's too complicated. But that's just a lie. A famous chess player visited an art gallery once, showing a famous picture entitled Checkmated, depicting two men playing a game of chess. And on one side of the table, a person pictured to represent the devil was looking in triumph at the young man opposite. And his young man was in a panic because it appeared that he was checkmated, and this man depicting the devil was about to make his final move to capture his soul for eternity. And this is what the artist was trying to picture. And this chess champion stood gazing at the picture when suddenly he smiled and said, I have good news for this young man in the picture. He still has a move that I can identify. And the father of lies, the devil, has convinced too many people that he has placed them in checkmate, that your situation is impossible. But the grace of God has provided us hope this evening. There is still a move. One move. You've tried many moves in your life, but there's one move that you can take. And that is to look to the Lord. All other moves have proved hopeless, and you're losing against Satan. And it seems that you're checkmated. There's nowhere to go. But the gospel is the good news coming into your life saying, no, you're not actually checkmated. There's one move. And it's this move of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will cry out to Him, He will hear your cry for help. He will raise you from the depths. Are you living in the depths? There is deliverance in the person of Jesus Christ as you repent of your sin and place your trust in Him. But are you willing to call upon Him? Are you willing to cry out to the depths this evening? And there is complete redemption in Him. That's the third point here this evening in these last two verses. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now, again, we have this word all. This little word all. And when God says all, He means all. This is the God's word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All his iniquities in the past and the present and the future. Nothing is left out. The forgiveness of their iniquities is so complete, there remains no debt because of them. The slate, as it were, is wiped clean in Christ Jesus. A new Rolls-Royce car broke down once in a remote area of France. And the owner from UK, who was on holiday, called the dealer. And the dealer flew a mechanic to repair the car. The next day it was fixed and he was on his way again. Months later, he hadn't received a bill for the repair. And he wrote to the company thanking them for being so responsive to his problems, and he mentioned that he hadn't received a bill. And he received a reply, we have no record of any Rolls-Royce ever having mechanical problems. Christ cancels our debt with His precious blood. He wipes the record clean. And it's like God the Father has no record left of our sin. It's though we've never broken down at all as we are presented in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're perfectly clean in Him. Well, God says, I'll remember your sin no more. Well, finally then, conviction. The depths, verse 1. The bottomless pit of sin where there is no standing, only sinking. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God, before whom I have sinned, the holy and the mighty God. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Let us be real about the situation this evening. The vital issue is that you have sinned before God. David had to face up to this fact. He had sinned first and foremost against God. The prodigal son who ran away from his father ended up in great poverty. But he said, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against God, and then my father. But then comfort in verse 4. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God is both holy and gracious to needy sinners in Christ Jesus, the Saviour and Lord. Commitment in verses 5 to 6. By this you show the reality and the sincerity of your calling upon the Lord. You really do want to be saved. You do really want to be forgiven. And then the certainty in verse 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Well, may the Lord bless that message from his word.